It's good to be back together with you this evening, though. It was great as well last night for Roisin and I to spend some time decorating John Frew's flat. I don't know how Roisin feels this morning, but my shoulders are a bit aching after all that wallpaper and that we did. But it's good to see Yvonne tonight. How are you all feeling?
Good.
You're feeling good? Feeling a bit wet, right? The weather's been a bit atrocious. I looked at the weather forecast and Stirling was in the eye of the storm yesterday morning when I looked at the weather forecast. So I sent Monique a text straight away. I don't know if it was going to get there, you know, through the storm, but apparently it got there. It did get there. Just to wish her well as she struggles through today, through her day. Just to let you know, there's a little bit of confusion regarding the Christmas services. All my fault. I forgot what I originally announced. But we have the school from 4:30 in the afternoons on December the 9th and the 16th. So we'll be having late afternoon, evening services. There'll be a Christmas service and a carol service on those two dates. So we get access from 4:30, but the services will start at 5 o'clock. So 5 till 7, and we'll have a Christmas service on the 9th and a carol service on the 16th. I'm making more mistakes. We're in the theatre for both of those services. So the theatre that we used to be in, that's what we'll be in for those two services. Tonight we're going to carry on looking at a little bit of Steve Kinnard's book. Tonight and tomorrow we're going to finish the classes from that book. Thank you, Ali, for speaking last week. I know it had an impact on a lot of people, which is great. I really encourage that we have some powerful, insightful speakers who can step in the gap whenever needed. It's a great strength of the Edinburgh Church that we can do that and that we've got that ability. But tonight what I'd like to look at is the concept of masks. Well, I mean the concept of masks. Remember, we're all trying to grow. We're all trying to grow to be more like Christ, and the Bible describes that maturity like a tree by a stream with fruit, with leaves, a strong tree able to withstand storms. And so this is what we're aiming for. This is the type of maturity that we're all aiming for. So it's a continual process. We should all be growing in areas of our life so that we become more like Christ. So I wonder, what are you growing in right now? What are you working on in order for you to grow to be more like Christ? Is it on your mind to grow? Is it on your mind to become more mature and to gain the nutrients that God wants us to gain as we grow more in the likeness of his Son? Turn with me to Psalm chapter 12. You know, and I want to talk tonight a little bit about masks. Everyone know what I mean by masks? Everyone know what I mean by masks? Wearing something on your face that makes you look different. Okay, so maybe it's a disguise, maybe you're playing a role, just a mask. It's what I want to talk about tonight. Why don't I talk about masks? Because I think we've all, if we're honest, can say we've all worn masks at one time or another. I think you know what I mean. I don't mean the visible masks. I mean the impression that we give people when we first meet them, when actually it doesn't correspond to how we actually are. We're putting on a different face. We're putting on a mask for them. And I think it's important for us to understand. We sometimes say we're happy when the truth is we're sad. We sometimes say we're strong, we're doing really well, when actually we're really weak and we really need some help. But instead of asking for the help, and instead of expressing the sadness and working through that, we hide those things, and then we put on a mask and we pretend to be different. So that's what a mask means. It means pretending to be different. Maybe we fool people. Maybe we're very good at wearing our masks. So that people think we're always one way or always another way, but all the time there's something different going on underneath. And we may fool people. I do appreciate the brother who looks me in the eye and says, "You just said you're fine. Are you? Is that really how you're feeling?" The brother who takes the time, and sometimes the sister, who takes the time to look me in the eye, put their arm around me and say, "You know what? I don't believe you. I think you're wearing a mask. Come on, let's find out how you're really doing. What's really going on?" I really appreciate people who take the effort, who love me enough to help me to be authentic, to be the same on the outside as I am on the inside. People that notice me, people that notice us, people who notice that our face may not match, our face and our demeanor may not match how we really are. So I would like us to consider, first of all, wearing masks. Oh, you can't see it really well. We went to Loch Lomond, last week for our anniversary, but went via the Kelvin Grove Museum in Glasgow, and they have this display of masks, and I thought, well, that's appropriate. That's what I'll be teaching next week. And these are Sri Lankan masks that there's three of them have been stolen. Three of them are still there, so this is one that was still there. So this is, I don't know what he's displaying, what he's trying to hide behind, what he's trying to, what it is that he's really like, but it looks a bit strange from the front there. But this is, sorry? Yes, that's right. I put the glasses on the front to give you a clue who it was. It's important, as we're going to look at Psalm 139. Keep your Bibles open to Psalm 12 as we look at Psalm 139 now. It's important to understand something very first from the off when you're thinking about trying to put on a front for other people. There's little point to it in the long run. Psalm 139 verse 1 says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. The amazing thing about what's going on inside, even if it's not what we are displaying to other people, God already knows. God knows you. So if your inside is not the same as your outside, if you're wearing a mask to cover up what's going on, then God, what's God thinking about you? He's thinking, you know what, you need to really trust me. You need to really trust me and have faith, because you could be real about who you are. Because the truth about masks is, masks prevent growth. And we're talking about maturity now. And for someone to grow, for someone to mature in any way whatsoever, they really need to be honest about where they are before they start that growth process. And if they're wearing masks all the time and disguising what's really going on inside, then they're not really allowing themselves to be open to God's healing power through prayer, through miracles, through discipling, through relationships. We are hiding and we are preventing growth. So what does God see when he sees us? Does he see people whose actions match our intentions? Does he see the real motivation for the things that sometimes we do? Because, you know, God cannot be fooled. Because God is truth. So the reality, the truth about whatever you are, is open to God, and that's all he recognizes. And so if we're going against that truth, and we're effectively lying, we're effectively putting a lying face in front of us, we're not allowing God to really help us, and we're not trusting God to work on our insides. So ask yourself a question, does your inside match your outside? Let's look at Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12, verse 1. Help, Lord. Is that where it starts? Just want to make sure. Help, Lord, for the godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men. Everyone lies to his neighbor. Their flattering lips speak with deception. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and every boastful tongue that says we will triumph with our tongues. We own our lips. Who is our master? Because of the oppression of the weak and of the groaning of the needy, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them. And the words of the Lord are flawless like silver, refined in a furnace of clay, purified seven times. O Lord, you will keep us safe and protect us from such people forever. The wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honored among men. You know, God is looking for genuine people. God is looking for authentic people who are serious about growing, who are serious about becoming more like him. No. There's some people who went that way. God is looking for people, authentic people. God has showered his grace upon us so that we can be authentic, so that we can be honest, so that we can be who we really are, so we can let our inside out, so that we can grow, so that we can change. Our desire should be to be one of those people and seek not just that, for others to be like that too. Studying the Bible with Carsten has been great, but you can see him wrestling. You can see him wrestling to get to let his inside out, just to express what's really going on. And we're going to be patient and loving, but we're going to hold the scriptures out, and we're going to hold his hand as he becomes more and more authentic. But that's what God is looking for in people. And we've all experienced that authenticity when we became Christian, but maybe over time we've begun wearing masks, or maybe we've worn masks at various times in various situations. God is looking for people who will want to be authentic. You know, the Greek word for faith is pistis. And that word can also be translated as genuine or true. Being faithful is being genuine and being true. Are you faithful? What I mean is, are you real? I remember when there was a time, it must have been the late 70s, early 80s, displaying my age again, but everyone used to wear these big silver watches I'd never seen before. Look what I'm wearing, and they jangle it. And you think, wow, that looks really cool, what's that? And then they say, it's a Rolex. And I didn't know what a Rolex was. I said, what's a Rolex? You know, and they, oh, it's this amazing watch, it costs £600. And I looked at it, I thought, wow, that's amazing. It was all big and bulky, it looked really expensive. And I thought, how amazing, a Rolex. And then they would tell me, I bought it from a guy down the market for a tenner. And then he said, it's a fake Rolex. It's not real. And I remember how disappointed I was. I thought, you know what? It'd be so great if you were wearing a real Rolex. That would be really encouraging. But you know what? It's just so disappointing that you're quite happy to display this fakeness, this fake Rolex. We were amazed when we first saw it, but we were disappointed when we realized that it wasn't the real thing. And now when I look at Rolex watches on people's wrists, guess what I think? So I ask myself the question, is that a real Rolex or not? And very often I'm cynical about them wearing their Rolex, you know. Their car has got to match their watch nowadays for me to really believe that it's a real Rolex. If they get out of a Ferrari, there's more chance that it actually is a real Rolex. But that's how people look at Christianity now, isn't it? They say that Christianity is irrelevant. They say Christianity's got nothing to say to the modern day. They say Christianity is hypocritical. How amazingly, how very important that we display the reality, that we display the truth, we be real, we show God's love to the world. We truly glorify God by just being authentic, by being who we are. You know, being pretending for you and I really makes no sense at all, because you are already truly known. The word hypocrite, as I was looking through that display in the Kelvin Groves Museum, they were talking about masks and they were talking about hypocrite and where the word hypocrite comes from. Well, it's a Greek playwright or drama term. So it's the name for the actor in the play who would have lots of different masks, who would therefore play lots of different parts in the play, depending on whichever mask he wore. So he would go to the side, get his mask, and he'd come on playing a particular part in the play. Then he'd go off, and next time he came on, he'd be wearing another mask, because then he'd be playing a different role in the play. And that was where the original word hypocrite comes from. It comes from these Greek plays, so that he could play several parts. In fact, the word hypocrite really means false face. It means to have a false face. Let's open our Bibles again to Matthew chapter 23. Because Jesus has got things to say to people with false faces. One of the most hardline few chapters, I think, in Matthew 22 and 23. In verse 25, Jesus says in verse 25, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will also be clean. Woe to you, teacher of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." You know, it's amazing that these were God's chosen people. These were the people that God had already set apart. These are the nation that came from the physical nation that came from Abraham. But they'd stopped relying on God. They stopped trusting God. They started relying a whole lot more on their heritage. They started relying a whole lot more on where they came from. They began relying a whole lot more on the fact that they were Jews. They'd stopped seeing the need for themselves to be genuine. And I think it's important for us to check ourselves regularly. It doesn't matter what church you're a member of, it does not guarantee your salvation. We've got to really look at our hearts and be honest about where we are, be honest about what's going on inside, so that we can be genuine, so that we can display true faith, and we can truly glorify God. We can fall into the same trap. You see, Jesus wants us to be genuine. He wants us to grow, and he wants us to do what we need to accept where we stand spiritually first, because it's only then that we can truly grow. But if we continue to deny who we really are, we deny our need. We're saying to God, I don't need you. And from my experience of my own life and from my experience of helping other people, people that don't recognize their need stay stuck or even leave God. They stay in places where they tolerate sin or they tolerate a terrible situation where real honesty will overcome those situations and allow great growth. So do we deny our need? See, God wants our inside to match our outside. He wants our motives, our hearts, our attitude to match what is really going on inside. So ask yourselves tonight, is it time that you came clean? Is it time that you took your mask off? Is it time that you allowed God into your inner parts where only he can heal, where only he can bring to life? Do you say to people that you're doing fine, when really you're dying on the inside? You see, now the problem, the thing we've got to wrestle with is the amount of contact, I think, that we have one with another. You see, because if you only see each other Friday and Sunday, then is that really an opportunity to get real and honest about how you're really doing? You see, the Bible recommends that we meet each other on a very regular basis. Daily we're described to meet in the book of Acts. And I think this should be our personal goal, our individual goals, is to regularly have contact with disciples so we can be honest about who we are. I don't think that we can have that opportunity each Sunday. Sundays are busy, right? Sometimes I never get out of this room. Sometimes the buzzer goes and it's time to walk straight to the car. I never get a cup of tea. There's no time to sit down with someone and say what's really going on. So we need to have extra times with people. We need to make them sacrifice our schedules so that we can mature, so that we can be open, so that we can be more like Christ. Do you say to people, you're fine, but really on the inside you're dying? Do you say to people, I like your haircut, but what you're really saying is, have you just been run over by a lawnmower? Or do you say, oh, you're looking great today? Or do you say, did you forget to use the iron this week? It's what's coming out of your mouth, really what you're feeling. Now, I'm not talking about being rude. My mum always said, if you've got nothing good to say, don't say anything at all. Okay, so I'm not talking about us walking around being rude to each other, being honest brutally about our haircuts. And I think everyone's haircut here is quite nice. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's fine. So I'm not talking about going around being brutally honest and hurting each other's feelings. If you've got nothing good to say, keep stum, and then maybe you should examine why it is that you have nothing good to say. Turn to Psalm 24. There's a preacher and his wife were invited to dinner, and it wasn't Nicola or I. We were invited to the house of some of the people in their church, and they went to the house, and it's the preacher, so they have chicken. You know, the preacher always gets chicken when he goes to dinner, and they get there and there's the dinner laid out and they're all sitting down at the table, and the question comes, well, who's going to pray? And they've got the family's there as well. So the mother of the guy that invited the preacher says, well, honey, will you pray for us before we start eating? And so the little girl just sits there, a little cagey, a little embarrassed, a little shy. You know, it's like when you ask children to pray, you sort of have to coax their confidence. And she's coaxing, she says, "Mummy, I just don't know what to say." She said, "Well, I tell you what, just pray just like Mommy does before dinner." She says, "Okay." So she put her head down and says, "Mom, why did we invite these people for dinner?" Nice on the outside, but not so nice on the inside. Turn to Psalm 24. This is another Psalm of Ascent. Remember, was it Malcolm? I don't know if anyone heard. You weren't there. I'm sorry, I was there on my own. It's a Psalm of Ascent. As they walk up to the city of Jerusalem, and as the city of Jerusalem came into sight, as they were walking up to it, they began singing these psalms and speaking these psalms to each other. So this is one of the Psalms of Ascent, and it says here, as we pick up in verse 3, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his place? He who has a clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false." What an amazing psalm. What do you think the clean hands and the pure heart stands for? The outside and the inside. The clean heart, the clean hands displays what we look like physically, but the pure heart displays what's going on inside. He who can stand with God is he who has a clean outside and a clean inside. They represent both action and motivation. These are the people that God will only accept. These are the people that will stand in God's holy place. Those who have faith, they have faith enough to let their outside betray what is really going on inside, a genuineness. These are the ones that are acceptable to God, that display the truth. You know, let's talk a little bit about liars. You know, I'm sure we've all lied, and I'm sure we've all known liars. There are liars that have probably been fooling us forever. There was that sort of lie, the people that we call pathological liars, who just lie all the time. There are liars, or hypocritical liars, that say one thing but mean another, or does another. The pathological liar can't tell a lie from the truth. They've become so entwined in these lies. A situational liar. A situational liar is someone who will choose the right situation in which to lie. Doesn't lie all the time, but chooses when they need to lie or not. They don't need to lie, depending on the situation. You know, before I was a disciple, lying was just a second nature for me. It's just what I do. I lie to avoid getting in trouble. That's one of the reasons people lie. Just do anything they can to get out of trouble. And if you're a parent, I'm sure you've experienced that thought. Are you really telling me the truth now? You know, it's really important for us to love our children, but not be afraid to find out a little bit. I used to lie to look good. I used to lie because I didn't want to look bad. If I'd done something wrong, I'd lie about it. No, that wasn't me. I didn't do that, so that nobody would think bad of me. I'd lie to get my own way. I knew that if I tell the truth, something would not happen that I wanted to happen. So I lie in order to get my own way. But the result of someone that lies is they carry around an empty feeling, a gnawing, an emptiness inside. And when I became a disciple, I was so grateful that God came into that hole and filled it up. Until the Acts 3:19, which says, "Repent then and turn to God." And then at the end of the verse, it says that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Someone who's honest, someone who's real, someone who's genuine receives amazing refreshing that can only come from God. It's an amazing feeling. And it's that feeling that makes me get up every morning and be a disciple. It's that feeling that says, you know what, I'm not going anywhere else, because why would it's like having a natural drug, you know, it's free from God. I don't need to avoid, although sometimes the temptation is to avoid trouble. Sometimes the temptation, because Satan knows your weakness and he will plug away at you if he can. That's why our relationships are so important. And then there's masks. People can find it easy to wear masks. See, they have different masks for every occasion. There's the mask of fakeness or the mask of super spirituality, where people won't even ask you how your quiet time is because they'll be too challenged by it.
They'll be too challenged how amazing it is. But really, you're just putting them off with your mask. Your mask of hypocrisy. Your mask of false purity. Maybe you wear a mask of false humility. Faux humility. Maybe you know somebody wants you to be humble. So you just, you know, I'll just give them what they need. Maybe you wear a mask of pride. Mask of lies or of negativity, of fear, of doubt or of folly. God wants us to get rid of our masks. Because when we put on a mask, we are too concerned with the externals. And we've got to understand what God's concerned with. God's concerned only with what's really going on inside. And if we put on a mask, we're disguising what's really going on. It's senseless when we know that God sees straight through our mask. He sees past the externals and straight into our hearts. God's focus is on what is going on inside. And if we want to mature to be more like Christ, that's where our focus should be too. In Psalm 51, verse 6, surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the innermost place. God's wish, God's desire is that you're concerned with what's going on inside. That's where refreshment will come. That's where real growth will come. Is it time that you let him in? Is it time that you allowed his healing power into what's going on inside of you? Psalm 51. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Sometimes we think doing a lot is sufficient. Sometimes we think just being busy and offering people lifts in our cars or just being super serving or doing this and doing that is a way for us to offset what's really going on inside. And we think God won't notice what's going on inside because I'm doing a really good job at serving everybody. God sees your motivation. Man may not see it. Man may think you're super serving. You're an amazing brother and you're an amazing sister. And that in many ways will make reinforce the feeling of, you know what, God thinks I'm great. Because everyone else thinks I'm great too. But you really know what mask you're wearing. You're the one that knows what's really going on inside. Have you become reliant upon what you do? I love decorating people's flats, but I have evil thoughts. I have evil thoughts. When Roisin told me tonight, you did a great job. There's an evil thought pops right in there. That's okay then. I've escaped. I've escaped another day. I love studying the Bible with people and seeing people grow and change and using the knowledge and experience that I've got. I loved it and walking away and feeling really great. And I think, well, why do I feel great? What am I feeling great about? I should have been feeling great before. Because God is God, whether Carsten becomes a disciple or not. So secretly, you know, you may be generous secretly. You may see someone in need financially. You may just get some money to them in some way to help them out. And that's a wonderful thing to do. A wonderful heart to have. But do you do it to offset tiny indiscretions? To justify your indiscretions? See, you and I are called to serve. You and I are called to sacrifice. But this is to meet the needs of those around us, those in our fellowship and those in Edinburgh. In regard to our standing before God, our serving, our sacrifice, they're just like filthy rags to God. They mean absolutely nothing. He wants you to have the correct motivation. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. God desires our honesty. God desires our humility. And he knows us better than we know ourselves. And we wear a mask because we think that's what's going to help us. We're hiding what we think we shouldn't let people see. But God knows what's best for us. He knows that being open, being honest is the best thing for us, the way for us to grow, and where true contentment comes from. It comes from having a broken and contrite heart. In Psalm 4, verse 20, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen close to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart,
for their life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. God knows you best. God knows you best, and he knows what will bring you real life. Guard your heart, because that is the wellspring of your life. God focuses on your heart. He looks through your masks. And I flick through here. Here we go. He looks through your masks. He knows what is going on inside. He sees the attitudes. He sees the reasons that we do things. He sees the reasons that we serve. He sees whether they're the right motives, or he sees whether they're the wrong motives. And he wants you to be honest. Therefore, I think we should put off our masks. You can take them off. Take your masks off tonight and burn them. And I say burn them because then you can't put them back on again. Take them off and don't put them on again. Have such relationships where people know you. Now, not everybody, okay, but where someone really knows you. Take your masks off. Masks, they are not the real us. We became disciples so that we could be us, not so that we carry on pretending. And you know, there's a big link between living this hypocritical life, this false life, to your mental condition. You're actually suppressing who you really are. You can damage yourself mentally if you continue to wear masks. Masks make us into fake disciples, make us into hypocrites, but God wants us to be real, to be genuine, to be real on the inside of the dish and to be truly faithful. I think there's just one more mask I want to quickly talk about that we're all susceptible to, and that is the mask of negativity. That is the mask of negativity, because I believe the way we see things, whether you're a cup half full or a cup half empty person, really can have a massive impact on the way you live your life and the way you see other things around you and the way you interact with things around you. There was a guy fast asleep, and he was sleeping in the house, and the kids, he had some crafty little kids, and they got some smelly cheese, and they rubbed a little bit of the really, you know, the really smelly blue cheese that's been out in the fridge for like 6 months, and it's just, and they put it under his nose, just there. And so when he woke up, he could, what's that stink? And he walked up to his wife, and he went, "You stink!" And then he walked into his car, he got his brand new car. "This car stinks." And then he went out, so went to work. "It work stinks." And everywhere he went, because isn't that what negativity is like? Doesn't it just follow you around? Doesn't it just influence the way you look and feel about everything? We are under the great threat of wearing the mask of negativity. Whenever we have a negative spirit, it follows us wherever we go. What is James saying here in James chapter 1? "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does." What's James saying? Get rid of doubt. Get rid of the "I can't." Get rid of the "we can't." Get rid of the "it won't happen" mentality. Get rid of disbelief. You know, disciples live in hope. And that hope gives vision. That hope inspires vision. That hope allows disciples to be focused on the blessings. To focus on having their cup half full instead of having their cup half empty. What's James saying here in verse 16 of chapter 1? "Don't be deceived, my brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits for all he created." What does he say? God gives good and perfect gifts. Negativity and cynicism are Satan's tools to stop us having hope and from growing. It's really important when you see great things around you that you have a really great spirit towards it. It'll lift your spirit. And it'll encourage those people that are forging ahead, that are just trying their best, just trying to get things going. It's really important that we get behind each other. And that's why if we're negative, it's really difficult. If you see what could go wrong all the time, it's really going to hamper our ability to grow. See, I believe the Edinburgh Church has an amazing future. Right now, there are so many changes occurring. The church is a different place now than it was 6 months ago. And in 6 months' time, it'll be different again. But the thing that is that will prevent us from seeing that future ourselves is negativity. That having that won't happen attitude. One that only sees the problems. One that only has a small guard. It affects your contribution. And I don't mean money necessarily, although that has a very big impact, an indicator of how you're doing spiritually. It affects whether you serve, whether you contribute in a serving manner, whether you give, whether you participate, whether you reach out. Because if you're negative about your life, you're negative about your Christianity, then what have you got to invite people to? What have you got to invite people to? It's so important to see the great things that God has done and is doing so that you can be joyful with other people and talk to them about the great God that sustains you. This church needs everybody to have faith. It needs everyone to believe. It needs everyone to be expectant. See, when the Israelites were freed from the slavery under the Egyptians, they began their march towards the promised land. They'd been given the promise. You're going to get to the land flowing with milk and honey. But how long was it before they forgot the promise? How long was it before they began focusing on what they hadn't got and started focusing on what they did have, even in slavery in Egypt? Didn't we sit around hot food in Egypt? It was better back then than it is right now. And they were on the way to the promised land. They became a community of grumblers, a community of complainers. And you know what happened because of that? Roamed in the desert for 40 years until that generation had passed away. No one given that promise received that promise. God doesn't want us to be complaining. God doesn't want us to be grumbling. God wants us to be honest, but God wants us to have hope. They roamed around the desert until they were replaced by a new and faithful generation. They died in the desert of negativity. The point is that God will not tolerate grumblers and complainers. He gives his promises to the faithful, to the genuine, to the positive, to the true. Prosperous people are positive people. Those that see the glass half full, not half empty. When we change and become like this, our church will become a more hopeful place. A more joyful place for people to come to. And let me assure you, when people come to our church, they absolutely love it. How do you feel about it? Because when they come to a man or to a woman, they say, this is an amazing place where the friendship is so genuine, where the love is so real. That's why we have people coming over and over again. Because I love being here. How do you feel about it? Because they're seeing it very positively. The problems will still be there. Issues will still arise. Work will still need to be done. You know, when there's an infestation of cockroaches, you walk into a room and you can hear something. And the room's dark, there's no lights on, and you can hear something. You can hear some clicking. And you, what's that noise? And then you switch the light on. It takes about half a second for the whole place to clear up. And all these cockroaches go scuttling off to wherever they come from. They've been all over the floor, just this brown, seething mass. Switch the light on, and they scatter to reveal the floor beneath. You know, I think this is what happens when negativity is confronted with the force of hope. Confronted with the force of positivity. When you're positive, more people want to be around you. When you're positive, people want to hear what it is you have to say. They're interested in your views when you are positive. More people want to join. I just put on here, just I think that one of the most joyful people here is Dorianne. It's just, whenever you see her, she's smiling. She's got such a positive spirit. She sends encouraging emails and texts. Like, she walks in, she's literally jumping off the floor and floating. There's just a positive happiness going on there. It's just great to be around. Dorianne, she's just brought a great freshness to the Edinburgh Church. I thank God for bringing Dorianne back to us. And there's no coincidence that Dorianne is regularly bringing friends to church with her. Dorianne has friends that she's brought along that are studying the Bible because her joyful spirit is infectious. Her joyful spirit is one that people want to be a part of. So for us, what about the mask of negativity? Maybe we should think about whether we are wearing a mask, whether we're not allowing God's hope into our heart. Whether we go into situations thinking, actually, this probably won't go really well. Rather than thinking, you know what, God is going to perform a wondrous miracle here tonight. I'm just going to hold out his word and I'm going to see that miracle happen. The other evening with Carson was just awesome. It was one of those miraculous evenings. It brings joy to your bones when you're part of a situation like that. And I believe it's got a lot to do with our own Danina. So that was just the class on masks. Where it's finished now. On Sunday, we shall finish with having an outward focus, sharing Jesus with others, which is the final class from Steve Kinnard's class. Just to let you know that this Wednesday is our fortnightly Bible discussion on Edinburgh University campus. 7 o'clock, David Hume Tower, Slack, Strings and Bibles. We had a wonderful Bible discussion last time. We had Christine there. Who else? Declan was there. And Harmony Hairspray was there as well. Sorry, it's the only way I can remember her name. But she was there as well. We had a wonderful time. We had a really great time. So please be inviting your